Hi there. Welcome to CDH Conversations. I am Buleng Motabeng, and I am an associate in the Tax and Exchange Control Department. In today's episode of the CDH Women Empowerment Podcast Series, I am joined by Jerome Brink, who is a director in the Tax and Exchange Control Department. Welcome, Jerome. Thanks for sitting with me today to have this conversation.
Thanks, Puleng. Yeah, great to be here, and thanks for the opportunity.
As I mentioned, we are recording an episode in the CDH Women Empowerment Podcast Series, and in the topic of discussion for today, we will be considering the role that men can play as allies in the empowerment of women, specifically within their careers. And given that both Jerome and I are in the tax department, I am hoping that we will explore specifically the empowerment of women in tax. And perhaps to kick us off, Jerome, if you could please tell us from your perspective the current gender dynamics within the tax profession and how that looks like.
Yeah, thanks, Puleng. Yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, when I started my articles also at another law firm many years ago, over 10 years ago, and I think back to that time, and almost every single one of the directors there were male. There wasn't a female in a leader position, so to speak. And that was 10 years ago. It's a long time, but also a short time ago. And obviously, you know, people were speaking about it back then, and it is quite front and center, and it sort of jars and hits you, right? But I think if you think to where we are now in 2024, I think we've made huge strides. There's a lot of room for improvement, but there are leading tax women out there. I think people also forget that. And I think a lot of them are building their profile. And just to mention a few names, you know, there was always someone, the now late Lynette Olifiri, who was on all the textbooks, International Tax and Taxation of Trusts. And obviously I'd listened to some of her talks and seminars, and that was someone that I thought was, you know, a leading name in tax from a technical perspective. And she'd been around for many years. Another individual that comes to mind is someone like Alsera Rosato. She was at SARS and is now, I think, at PwC, leading their tax controversy. And, you know, when I was a junior many years ago at my previous law firm, I remember being on the other side with her, and someone that, for me even, I felt was impressive, and someone that, you know, I learned from just by being on the other side of the table from, right? Younger Mputo, obviously you also know quite well, he was at Treasury for many years and head of tax policy. Someone definitely a big name in tax, and I think someone who's also somewhat a pioneer.
Yeah.
So if you look now at the law firms and the auditing firms, yes, of course, still a hell of a lot of room for improvement. There's no doubt about it. And that's why we should be having these conversations and discussing these things. But there certainly has been a shift, I think, at least in the last, you know, with those initial ladies who sort of were pioneers in their own right, in terms of getting more representation from a female perspective within the tax profession. Obviously, a long way to go. Certainly, definitely, historically, something that has been dominated by males, there's no question. And, you know, to my anecdote earlier, but great to see the sort of tail end of those pioneers that starting to really grow and getting a bit of momentum through that, which is great to see.
Yeah. So would you say then the barriers that women faced, for example, 10 years ago, have those broken down, or do you think they still persist today?
You know, when you asked us about the barriers that women face and the challenges that they face, it's always quite tricky for me to be definitive in my answer. Because, you know, by and large, I'm a male, right? So I don't suffer from those things. I don't experience those things. So it's always hard for me to give like a definitive answer. And I think that's also something that men should feel a responsibility for, is to listen and learn, right?
Yeah.
To understand the perspectives where women are coming from, you know, the challenges that they face, and not to just cast them aside. Because there's no doubt that there was this block or this hurdle for such a long time, right? And yes, those challenges maybe have become easier, and a lot of it because of the fact that people are more aware of it and it's more front and center. But I don't think those challenges are gone. There's no doubt about it. And I suppose as people's mindsets shift, you start breaking down certain barriers that were in the start. But new ones crop up that follow on from those first barriers that were broken down. And so I think it's still a work in progress. And there's certainly, and at least from my discussions with a lot of women in law, but in tax specifically, there certainly are still challenges. And I think the aim is to try and get those to be less and less over time.
Yeah. And Now, speaking at the role that men can play in assisting in breaking down those barriers, I'd like to hear your thoughts on mentorship and sponsorship. And you mentioned how it's important to have conversations with women to kind of get their perspective, to know what barriers they face. And I'm guessing men can then play a role in trying to, you know, kind of move those barriers aside and assisting in advancing women in their careers. If you can talk about that and how your thoughts are around sponsorship, the role it plays, and how men can step into that role to really benefit women.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, you would have known in that Women in IFA and Young IFA Network event that we had a few weeks ago, some of the ladies there that were speaking acknowledged the role that some men had played in their careers. So that shows just very obviously how important it can be. And I think that's it. As a man, you have a role and responsibility to be particularly understanding, to listen, to learn, and to help where you can. Because there's a lot of things as a male that you take for granted. Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, my wife's also in the legal profession. And so I also hear from her. And that actually helps a lot because she confides in me in a lot of things. And, you know, men take for granted that when you walk into a room, everyone kind of is willing to listen to you. And again, it's generalization. Not every situation is the same. But often women don't have that luxury. So I think mentorship and sponsorship is incredibly important. I think mentorship is probably something that's a little bit more intangible. And I know that there are obviously formal mentor programs and that I've always believed in, you know, there's a space for formal mentoring. And I think that is very helpful. And, you know, sometimes you do need to push, nudge people a bit and, you know, there's a space for it. But I think organic mentoring, you know, something that happens more naturally where you have an affinity with the person and develop that relationship, that professional relationship, you know, more organically, I think sometimes can have a more profound effect. And yes, I mean, it really is, you know, like I say, it's something intangible in the sense that it's more guiding. You discuss with each other issues that you face, how you've dealt with them, you know, and it may be something to do with a gender dynamic, you know, where, you know, you can get a different perspective from a male, for example. So there's that, and I think that helps. And that's more like soft touches and soft skills and how do you deal with things on a daily basis. I think sponsorship is a bit different. I think sponsorship probably can have a more tangible impact on your career because there it's someone who's really backing you, mentioning your name in spaces where you are not, you know, giving you a leg up. For example, a client comes and says, can you do this piece of work for me? And then as a male, you can say, yeah, sure, this person can do it, or this, you know, this lady can do it. And by all means, she's brilliant. She can handle it. She's good. You know, that's an example, right? And I think you see it more, you know, you see the results, you know, so that client then, oh yes, geez, you know, this is great and I'd love to work with this person. So I think both has a role to play because I think the soft skills and the guidance, you know, on a daily basis is very important. But I think sponsorship is also very important. And I don't think they need to be done separately. I think they work hand in hand. Both have a very important role that I think men specifically to help women in tax should play.
I know you mentioned with mentorship and how sometimes it can happen informally. You don't have to formalize it. But I mean, how can men actually take the step to initiate it, to be intentional about it, to be like, to identify somebody and be like, actually, Bleng, I see you. I want to mentor you. I want to sponsor you. Yeah. How would you say men should initiate that type of relationship?
You know, like I say, my personal experiences from mentorship is that you don't want it to be like plastic. You know, you don't want it to be something that's forced on you. Yes, there's a space for, like I say, for formal mentorship, but, you know, it needs to be something that you develop and nurture over a period of time. So I think as a male in this profession, I think taking an interest in certain women in particular, you know, I think as you grow as a more senior person across your career, you know, some people do, some people more, less, take an interest in younger people and pay it back, you know, giving it back because at some stage you were in that position, right? And and you didn't get to where you were without having the people in more senior positions, having your back, looking after you, taking interest in your work. So there's definitely a role to play there. How you do it, I'm always hesitant to be, you know, it shouldn't be something that's too forceful, too imposing, so to speak, on someone. It should be more a case of taking an interest and showing that you have an interest in this person's career and professionally and personally, you know, checking in every once in a while, saying like, how are things going and sharing your experiences with them. I think to build trust, you know, it's a two-way street. And I think by sharing personal experiences from you, that will enable them to trust you a little bit more and to share their personal experiences. And so it builds, right? So it's a tricky thing. And again, fine line between making it too enforced and imposed, which I don't think has as much of an impact as opposed to it really developing organically.
Yeah. And you spoke about it being a two-way street, which I agree. It's almost so you're creating a relationship.
That's it.
And with any relationship can come issues, you know, especially between a man and a female within the workspace. Do you foresee any challenges in trying to pursue a mentorship or sponsorship relationship with women? And how do you think you could overcome those challenges, if any, really? Or is it just only positive can come from it, if I can put it like that?
I mean, look, you've hit the nail on the head, right? Any mentorship relationship is a two-way street. It's almost, you know, when you go to therapy, right? It's also how much you want to give up, you know, in terms of your personal experiences and your relationship with that person and all those things, you know, in any relationship, really. So the challenges are that, and you're quite right, like I think a male and female dynamic in a workplace can have its complications and challenges. And so those are pretty clear. And I think it's about being invested in that person, but allowing that relationship to develop over time and to build that trust. I think that's the key. And I think that takes time. You know, I think in this day and age, everyone is so enamored or wants instant gratification. And I think things that really, you know, people also say sometimes good things come to those who wait, right? I think you need to be able to be willing to know that you're not going to get a lot of it just suddenly overnight or in a couple of months. These are things that take a long time. And often, weirdly enough, only after several years, you think back and you're like, geez, you know, that was actually quite a seminal moment in my life. And you appreciate a little bit more in terms of what that person did for you. So it's not always sometimes in the present that you recognize and realize that. You know, sometimes you might not even be knowing it. It's such a subconscious thing. But this person is actually giving you little nuggets of information that's helping you a lot along the way. So yeah, it's quite a dynamic, sort of complex type of thing.
And from your perspective, I mean, I know you mentioned that in your career, you didn't get to where you are without having your own mentors. But now that you are a director, have you started maybe a mentorship relationship or a sponsorship relationship? If you can maybe give us your experience on that, how that relationship started and how's it going?
You know, they say always it takes a village to raise a child, right? And I think in a professional career, you can kind of apply that too. Working in a professional environment and this pressure that we're under and that, it can be challenging. And I think you need a support system around you. You know, those mentors and mentees, and I'm speaking from personal experience in the sense of, you know, this is kind of how I found it. They can be in the form of family and friends, you know, people that literally, because I think that's also the key is diversity of your mentors. You know, having people around you that have been through your experiences or had firsthand experience of it, I think is very helpful. But also sometimes someone completely objective that's not in your industry or is just a friend, you know, I think those kinds of people are also in some ways mentors. You know, they can give you advice of something that they also similarly dealt with, but in a completely different way and a different perspective. You know, I always believe in diversity of ideas and different perspectives, I think makes you a more full, well-rounded individual, right? And so that's also what I've always liked to seek out is diversity of ideas, getting different perspectives, people, you know, friends, peers that are in different industries, they've also dealt with things that are not necessarily what we deal with exactly in a legal profession or tax legal profession, but certainly things that you can learn from. So I think I've found that type of thing exceptionally helpful.
And are you currently in a mentorship?
Not a formal one. I did join CDH's formal mentorship program a couple of years ago, and I did mentor someone who's now moved along and he's at the bar. And I enjoyed that experience and it was really good. And I hope I played a role in that. But John, nothing formal at the moment, but I've always felt informal mentoring or sponsorship has a sometimes greater impact because of the fact that it's more organic. And I'd like to think that is how I have in my career is to give back. And you know, sometimes mentorship can be a very formal thing, but it's also sometimes the small things and the small things you say and the small things you play a role in, how you deal with people. It's really every day. You got to live it every day, right? And yes, you know, sometimes being in a professional environment, you know, you've got so many pressures, you got to get work, you got deadlines, you got all these things. And you do sometimes let it slip, so to speak. Yeah. But you got to kind of almost check yourself, you know, from time to time and be like, you know, this is something important because you also got here for reasons that there were people that helped you. And to also learn from that, you know, as I go through stages in life, I like to think, okay, but what would I like that senior person to do? And I'm like, I want to remember that later on. You know, and it's not always easy to consciously remember all these things. You know, you got to write a book, basically. But to have that in the back of your mind subconsciously to think, okay, well, how would that have helped in that situation? And to try and be a little bit more, you know, sitting on that other side to try and be like, okay, well, I learned, I would have liked that. So then to try and pass that on later on when I'm in the more senior position, so to speak.
And can you speak a bit more about that? So what learnings did you get from being a mentee that you've now translated into being a mentor, but also from your formal mentorship, what lessons did you learn in that relationship that you're now applying to these informal type of mentorships that you're doing?
I think as you get older, you start forgetting things. So I can't remember all these things. So you're asking me a difficult question. I think the thing that I always found, which was always a tricky thing, is communication. Communication is so critical. I think sometimes there's like misunderstandings or barriers. And I'm at fault sometimes, and even now I'm at fault sometimes. You know, things can be resolved with a conversation. It's so much easier. If I think back, you know, pre-COVID, I guess a lot of people were more in the office, but things are now a little bit more different. And I personally think that's good, you know, flexibility and what it does do, because, you know, your tone and your communication over Teams and WhatsApp is not always necessarily the same, right? So, you know, with good things also comes certain downsides. And I think often having a conversation face-to-face with someone is incredibly good at breaking down barriers and sort of cutting knife through that tension. So that's something that I've also learned in the sense of, you know, have conversations, don't put your head in the ground, and have the hard, tough conversations. You know, they need to be had sometimes, but that's how you grow. And that is unfortunately a reality, is that, you know, we're all adults and life is tough and it is hard, but sometimes you need to have the tough conversations and say the hard, tough things. And I've probably learned that. That's probably one of the big things that I've learned, you know, in terms of bad news is best delivered early, yeah, right? But it's also in the way that you do it and the tone and you know, and I think people appreciate that. And I think that's also important to say, look, you know, I'm not here to fight you. These are things that are important and these are things that I learned along the way. And sometimes you have to learn the hard way and you've got to bump your head, right? And it's about then understanding that, moving on, growing, learning. And then you think back a couple of years and you're like, geez, you know, that actually made a big difference in my life.
And just to close off, do you have any advice for any men that are looking to be a sponsor and to step in the role of a mentor and really assist women in the advancing of their careers?
I think you've got to humble yourself. You know, you've got to realize that we are in a position of privilege, whether we think it or not. And there are things that we take for granted and we will never understand because it's never happened to us. You know, I always tell that story about a former colleague who came back from a meeting and went to a meeting with a client and sat down, and the client was eventually like, well, when's my tax advisor arriving? And I was honestly completely shocked by that. I couldn't believe it because I knew her and I knew who she was. And I was like, I mean, that's mad, right? But it really opened my eyes. So I think the thing is to try and build those relationships and that trust in you being open yourself so that you can also learn and get these perspectives. So listen and learn. Understand these perspectives and think about them and think the way that you interact with people in terms of you trying to better that type of environment, but also how you could potentially give women the leg up, you know, from a sponsorship perspective, if that helps in a certain circumstance. I think that would be very helpful. But also to try and think from a more mentorship perspective and think you need to potentially give extra attention to specific people to help them grow, and given the dynamics, given the history, etc.
Yeah, I think what I'm getting from that is men just need to be more aware.
That's it.
Of women's experiences and allow themselves to really learn and to hear them out, because maybe sometimes looking in, it's like you don't understand because you've never experienced it. But absolutely, if you give people the time and the space to actually talk, you know, you might learn something as well.
Yeah, and that's why I was saying earlier as well, the communication thing. But to get to that point is to, like I say, humble yourself, build the trust, openness, and that will enable the communication. You know, it's almost like different stages, right? And again, it's not saying it happens overnight. You need to be patient and invest in those relationships and in those conversations.
Thank you. That was very nice conversation, interesting perspective. I'm glad to have gotten your views. Thank you for joining us for another episode of CDH Conversations.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.